today's podcast, we have a very, very special guest. We are welcoming the unknown barber, and we're about to unveil who this particular gentleman is. Huge, huge announcement. For those of you who already know, I guess it's a bit of a, you know, bit of an obvious one. For those of you who don't know, we welcome Mr. Harry Noon.
I became the unknown barber, and this for two reasons. I generally don't like my name spotted about everywhere, or my face. It's just something I just like to work under the radar. I don't like fuss. It's just not me. I like to get on with it, not knowing anything. And I don't want that limelight. Not that I'm not afraid of it. I just like to work better as an equal. Even in my shop now, people don't know I own it. You know, I'm in my head to toe in my sports gear. It's just who I am. And that's how I like it. And to me, we're all the boss in the shop. And if I was seen in a photo, cutting out of a garage, I'd blur my face out. And it became this mystery.
So Harry's about to dive in and tell us his backstory. You know, coming from England, Manchester in England.
Yeah.
Coming across to Melbourne here in Victoria, progressing through his football career, and then starting the Unknown Barbershop. So Harry, mate, again, thank you very much for your time and for jumping on this podcast with us. If you'd like to start with a bit of your backstory, mate, talk to us about being a young kid and getting into football.
You know, like most of the population around the world, you know, as a kid, you always dream to be a footballer. You start from a young age and, you know, you obviously want to become the best footballer you possibly can and all that. But look, I started out young, played in England, and then I took a route. I wanted to travel the world while merging football and travel together. I thought I'd enjoy that a lot more. Obviously, it's cutthroat in England. And, you know, everyone wants to become a footballer. But do they? You know, it's a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication. And, I thought travelling and playing football was my route, a bit more of a lifestyle. That took me to America. I spent a good 2 years out in America, which was amazing. And that's what led me here, actually. Your typical phone call from a manager. That took me to Brisbane. Wicked, really, really nice part of the world. And coming from England, Manchester, rainy, windy. Brisbane was everything you thought Australia was. You know, sun, beaches, exotic animals. Well, for England anyway, exotic animals. And I thought that was a whole of Australia, to be honest, until a phone call. And I didn't even know what Melbourne was. And then I came down here in a completely different lifestyle, very similar to back home, which is probably the reason I'm still here 5 years later.
Yeah, awesome. Talk to us about America. So what age were you and whereabouts did you go to?
I moved to America about 20 years old. I was playing under an agency and they asked if I wanted to go out there to the USL and PDL. And I spent a year out in LA playing for a team called Ventura County Fusion. That was a PDL, which is Professional Development League. It's like one below the USL's. You're always on the road, very professional, you know, high-tech equipment, you know, like the sports side of it was amazing.
Yeah, fantastic. I think it's a bit of an unknown for us here in Australia. I mean, some people go over at the collegiate level, but in terms of that, what do you call it, professional development?
Development League, yeah.
Development League, yeah. So that's something I don't even know about.
No, it was very good, you know, especially being 20 and in that age bracket, you know, I really did learn a lot out there, but there was some athletes, like the stuff they study for us athletes to become better athletes is amazing, next to none. And I don't think I've actually ever been in a better country for all them statistics and all that, you know.
Absolutely. I think the US system for sports science, strength conditioning more so, is huge. So, you know, the way that they develop these programs, that develop players and athletes is phenomenal. Much, much stronger than Australia, in my opinion. Our sports science faculty is perhaps better and our facility is perhaps better, but the strength and conditioning component over there is just phenomenal. A lot of coaches here in, you know, Australia actually go over there for internships and study and follow these mentors because their systems and principles and processes are, yeah, phenomenal. Awesome. Talk to us about the move from America to Brisbane. You said it was with an agency, is that correct?
Yeah, at the time, my move from England to America was for an agency. The rest was from just, friends of friends and managers taking jobs and stuff like that. So I literally went into that move with the unknown. I had no idea what I was getting into. And look, it was the start of my chapter. Don't regret it. Obviously, it was a beautiful part of the world. And yeah, look, I enjoyed my time, but I needed to make that move, that transition down to Melbourne for that better football standard. Obviously, very more competitive and fans and stuff like that. There's a little, you know, I just knew that's where I'd rather have been.
Yeah, for sure. So the move to Melbourne then, you've come from proper Australia, sunny and, you know, beautiful and beaches and stuff. And you've moved down here south to Victoria. Talk to us about that transition. How did you find it?
Mate, to be honest, I actually didn't know this part existed in Australia. I just presumed it was typical, sunny all year round. I was changing clothes twice a day because of the humidity. And I didn't really realise Melbourne was like this. And it is very similar to back home, Manchester, where I'm from. You know, you've got the building, you've got the culture, you've got your four seasons in the year. I honestly had no idea this existed, to be honest, until coming down here. And like I said, just touched on it before, this is probably the reason I'm still here, it seems very normal for me. The people, my friends, like every, you know, it all interconnects. It's all very similar.
Yeah, cool. And then the football. So, you know, first club, where did you sign here in Victoria, in Melbourne?
Straight to Heidelberg. Still there now. Look, they've been a massive part of my chapter in Australia. You know, it's a family-run club. Speechless, really. I don't really have much to say, and I don't really have anything on that because all I've ever known in Victoria is Heidelberg. We've had a decent amount of success too, so there's no reason to move.
Absolutely. So what we're about to do is we're going to dive, hopefully, deeper into, you know, is the unknown chapter two for you, or is this still part of chapter one?
The unknown is a merge, you know, and it's at the crossroads in life when, you know, as my old man once said, you know, football world can only take you so far, and especially if you're really good, and which we're amateurs, you know, and that unknown part was a merge of being real to myself and trying to pretend to still live that dream of that footballing lifestyle and actually waking up to myself and that, you know, pull yourself together. Football can only take you so far. So it's probably that 1.5 shall we settle with instead of chapter one or two.
Yeah, nice. Very, very good. Again, for those of you who don't know, I'm sure you're all going to look it up. You probably are across it if you're in Melbourne. The Unknown, the brand, you know, the Unknown Barber, it's quite big. I'm actually representing the shirt right now. I've got the shirt on. It's fantastic. Best barber in the business. You know, we can give Harry a fantastic rap as the rest of his following would do. I really enjoy that, you know, setting yourself up for what comes next. And whether it's chapter 1.5, 1.5, or chapter 2, you know, as an amateur footballer or semi-professional footballer, building those, you know, those next stepping stones to have that support and to have a proper business, you know, it's super, super smart. Talk to us then. So getting into barbering, let's start there. Where did that start for you?
This started in my mum's kitchen. Like I said, starting on one of my mate's hair, really, and that's really what set it. And I always had this thing in the back of my head that what my dad used to say, you know, grow up, not grow up, you know, what I just touched on. So I knew I needed this second platform for life, and I honestly really never knew what I was going to do. I didn't like anything other than football. You know, I was always losing jobs left, right, and centre, to be honest, never turning up. I never had an interest there. So this started from getting hold of an old pair of clippers, cutting a mate's hair, and I just really had this satisfaction for it. So, you know, next on that, I was cutting more friends and my brother's friends, and then it really just grew from there. You know, I had that drive, I had that passion for it out of nowhere. I then created an Instagram account, I was YouTube and everything, and still to this day I'm self-taught. You know, and I'm quite lucky to be in an industry that you can be self-taught. Obviously, there's a lot more to it after that, but that's how I started. You know, YouTube, research on certain hair types and, following it out on mates as guinea pigs, really.
So this whole podcast, this platform, the high performance platform, you know, we peel back the layers, we look at the individual. We look at the individual as to what makes them, you know, tick, how they got into what they're doing, why they got into what they're doing, and, you know, what makes them unique in their success. So I think a massive thing you've just touched on is that self-taught. Yeah. There's an art, you know, there's an art to most things that we do, but in terms of like barbering and fades and, you know, the level of service and the craftsmanship and the workmanship behind it, it is a skill set, but it's an art form. So if you're self-taught, this is what makes you unique, and this is why we've got you on today, mate. So, you know, phenomenal stuff. Fast forward a little bit, take us through the barbering progressions as you got better and sort of figured out that you were going to become a barber and open up your own shop.
Yeah, look, I never really had a set date on when I thought I'd be labelled as a barber. Like, for me, it was that flexibility of merging two industries together, my football and my barbering. So, like I said, my black box with my clippers, and it came to America. Then in between, you know, when we're on the road, travelling, you know, down the coast of LA, and I was always, you know, cutting up with the boys and in the changing rooms after, in training, you name it. So it was, I never really had a date on when I would be labelled as a barber, but, you know, as I got here, life was a bit more relaxed. The reason I never kind of worked for someone for so long was due to my football. You know, I had high intensity, like training a lot, so I could never actually secure a job. You know, bit barber in the world, it's Friday, Saturday work. So that's why I kind of always was very flexible. You know, I'd call myself a luxury barber. I worked when I wanted to work. You could call it lazy, or you could call it like I just had a balance to life, in my opinion, and what I wanted to do. But then as things got more relaxed in Melbourne, you know, I then took that, you know, cutting friends' hairs, and, you know, I was a mobile barber for a long, long time. And that's where I actually became the unknown barber.
Yeah, cool. For those who don't know, I'll touch on two things. Obviously, our audience is predominantly footballers, you know, young, seniors, semi-pros, pros, parents of children aspiring to become footballers. In a semi-professional environment, if you're not familiar with, you know, the NPL and those types of things, players are training three or four times per week with the club, plus game day. So you've got all your travel, your hours, your prep, your recovery, on top of full-time or part-time work. So what Harry's done, you know, like a lot of these boys that are doing, you know, businesses on the side, it's quite a phenomenal feat to be able to manage, build, and then, you know, work both simultaneously. So I commend you on that. It's, you know, being a business owner myself, it's pretty full-on, a lot of time, yeah. Being on your feet, being flexible, being adaptable, you know, there's a whole series of things that you've mastered, which is phenomenal. How we actually met was on a trip away with Heidelberg up in Cairns. And we sort of, well, in my opinion, we clicked. You can correct me if I'm wrong. We clicked straight away because Harry's got a business as well. We're both in football. We both love football. But Harry had a small business. I've got a small business. And we started, you know, bouncing some ideas, you know, talking about things, talking about where we're going to go, how we're going to get there, you know, price points, customers, clients, communication, all sorts of stuff. So it's really, really cool. You know, we fast forward the clock now. I think it's about 2 years on to be able to have you on this podcast, you know, sharing these stories. It's quite special. You've just mentioned there, you know, sort of a few different experiences, a few things were happening in your life, and you sort of became this unknown barber. You were cutting through the boys or your teammates' hair. You had the black box. You're traveling around. It became this cool little thing that you could do. You know, you had that luxury. You could cut hair, you know, on the side or in between or before and afterwards. If we pinpoint it, you know, when did the name come about and how?
A few things in even in the barbering world, there's some things that I don't like, and hence the name, the unknown. There's, we don't advertise as a barbershop. It's not that I don't love barbering. I do. I'm just not into the old. Everyone's different, you know. I'm not going to criticize the other side of the barbering. Like, I just like, it's more of a branding for me. But to pinpoint it was, I had some occasions with my visa. I hope if anyone's from the government listening to this, tune out. look, it wasn't that intense. But, you know, I was balancing labouring, you know, landscaping and working, and I had altercations with my visa where I actually got denied for a working permit. So I'm like, oh no, you know, what's the next step? Obviously, barbering is my avenue. I became the unknown barber, and it's for two reasons. I generally don't like my name spotted about everywhere, or my face. It's just something I just like to work under the radar. I don't like fuss. It's just not me. I like to get on with it, not knowing anything. And I don't want that limelight. Not that I'm not afraid of it. I just like to work better as an equal. Even in my shop now, people don't know I own it. You know, I'm in my head-to-toe in my sports gear. It's just who I am. And that's how I like it. And to me, we're all the boss in the shop. You know, we are the boss to whoever's in the chair. I don't think just because you're the owner, you have a hierarchy. Obviously, people need to respect and respect it both ways. But yeah, the visa was what actually changed from your typical Harry the barber to the unknown barber. So obviously, you know, and if I was seen in a photo cutting out of a garage, I'd blur my face out. And it became this mystery. And I loved it. I loved that mystery side of it. And, you know, to the point of it, you know, a few years down the line, you know, I look after a lot of the A-League players, like, or my friends, shall I say, to I've done Team USA in the NBA. And, you know, a photo was posted, my face was blurred out in a hotel room. There's a mystery. And people on that day came into the shop like a week after. And I sat him in the chair. I was like, hey, you know, you're new to the shop. They're like, look, to be honest, man, I just wanted to know who you were. And I had a really good vibe. I loved it. Like, it was just, and that's what it creates. It creates a mystery. Not that it was intentionally, because there was a real reason behind it. But, yeah.
That's cool. And in terms of, look, and again, I'm going to give you a bit of a pump up because you deserve it. You know, this the mystery and the intrigue is what often sells. Yeah. In terms of marketing, it's genius. So having, it's visually appealing, you know, it looks super cool. All the content that you produce, you know, blurred out face, people are putting different faces on your faces, you know, the V for Vendetta mask, you know, what's that mask actually called?
The Anonymous mask, I think.
There you go. So, you know, it's just something that's worked for you, Harry, and, you know, the whole brand from right down to the logo. I mean, if you haven't seen the shop already, it's just a killer fit out. The way that this whole brand, and sure, it's a barbershop, yeah, but it's a brand, it's a business. The way that you've set this up, mate, is spectacular. So for me, looking from the outside in, there's so many take-homes based on what you're doing. And I think probably the best part of your business, and I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but, you know, it is very much what you said. You're the owner, but nobody knows that you're the owner. You know, it's such a humble place for you to be in because everyone's equal. And the way that Harry's barbers operate that on this equal front and the guys in the chair are the most important, like it's just a well-oiled machine where people come through, where appreciated, or actually love. So I don't know if you guys have ever been to a barbershop and, you know, you rock in, the guys just give you a nod, you sit there, you wait, you're not sure when you're going to get cut. For me, the biggest and best thing is customer service, being treated correctly at the door. Greeted correctly, it makes you feel comfortable, it makes you trust in the product or trust in the barber. But also the best thing about this barbershop is you sit in the chair and you're guaranteed a good haircut. Yeah, when you go and get a fade or you get a haircut, you often go and sit, and it's a gamble. Yeah, they say the difference between a good haircut and a bad haircut is 2 weeks' time. Whereas we come to you, and again, sorry to pump you up, but we come to you and it's a sure thing. You're guaranteed a good haircut, you're going to walk out of there fresh, you're going to walk out there feeling really good. And this is why, and I guess it's probably a good segue to introduce this, but this is why we're going to bring the Unknown brand on as one of our official sponsors.
Yeah, look, it's when you asked me if I'd be interested, it was a no-brainer. Like, and I'm flippant, you know, obviously, you know, like what we said when we met, you know, we are two very similar people, and I would, you know, it's a great to collab with someone like yourself and, you know, this team that you've got here at Oxidate. Yeah, it was a no-brainer. I'm very a proud sponsor. You gimmick what you'd say you'd be a proud sponsor, but I really am. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, awesome. And it is. It's, look, it's really special. Again, going back to, you know, 2 years ago, connecting, looking at the brand, looking at what you're doing, you know, molding that. Yes, we're quite similar in that sense, but it just makes so much sense. You know, you've also been nicknamed the A-League Barber. You mentioned that before. Obviously, you cut a lot of boys' hair and most of your mates' hair and stuff. So it's just a really good fit for us. I think it's a special connection. It's a great collaboration. We thank you so much for coming on board. Progressing through some questions, let's take it a step back. Let's give us a full circle, big picture. Let's dive back into the football. Now, playing NPL in the last 5 years with Heidelberg, let's unpack some injuries. Now, I know you've had more than one. You've had quite a few interesting, you know, things happen, mate. If you can talk more on that, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, look, I've had a few unusual ones, should I say, too. But look, across the time at Heidelberg's been great. You know, being fit and healthy is very underrated, you know. Or you got to come across a good team to keep you fit and healthy, which is probably one of the hardest things, especially at this amateur level, is, in my opinion, is balancing, like we said, that work and football together. So across the way, you know, I've had my typical knee injuries, and loss of cartilage, you know, with keyhole and stuff like that, which is a real impact being on their feet and then having to go, you know, run out of the car, jump in the car, sorry, run out of work, sorry, jump in the car and straight to a game back in the morning because I work Saturday mornings and, you know, it is very stressful on the legs too. So, and I've been out of football with knee injuries and stuff like that for a good few months, missing a vital part of my time in Melbourne. And then a very freak accident that I had was against South Melbourne, big Greek derby. You know, I always get up for them sort of games. And some, yeah, the ball, through ball, you know, obviously me as a player, I'm full throttle. I don't really do things in half. The ball was there to be kept in the field and I slid and took out a corner flag. And that snapped in half and the trailing bit that was in the ground was just sliced me out. It went through my leg, scooped it. And then, yeah, I was rushed to hospital and the game was abandoned. So I spent a good half a year out of the pitch, skin graft, on the you know, very unusual injury, shall I say. So it was a difficult one. But, you know, I think it's people around you that will pick you up and stuff like that. And I do always see these, you know, a good motto I like is that everything happens for a reason. At the time, whatever that reason was still baffles me. Or I wouldn't be sat here today if it wasn't for these setbacks in life, in my opinion. I can't pinpoint why they were happened or whatever, but that's just my opinion. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but I still would believe I would be sat here with you today if it wasn't for our major setbacks, especially with this COVID, you know, touch on your business, big setback.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think these setbacks make us who we are. Look, this is my opinion and this is off the boat. This is raw. I don't think we'd be sat here today doing podcasts in the first year that if you were meant to be open. But do I think it's amazing? Yeah, I think you're in my opinion, the only guy doing it out there that's branching out. So back to what I was saying about the setbacks. I think if you can channel them setbacks into something great, you really are like going at wolf. You know, you're doing that 2% better than anyone else that's just sat there doing nothing.
I agree. And, you know, we often try and think of, or a lot of people reference, you know, everything happens for a reason. I find some people get a little bit caught up in trying to work out what the reason is. You know, just accept it. You don't have to work out exactly what that reason is. It's something that's happened to you. You know, we can move on. We can build. We can spend time over analyzing it, or just accept it and get on with it and what that creates. Although in that point of time, you've just sliced your leg open. It's a horrible, horrible situation and a very dangerous situation to be in. But what that's done at whatever level, Harry, is built, you know, resilience, determination. All of these things that form from horrible predicaments or negative situations, all of these things that happen, you know, it builds character. It builds, you know, what we need to become, what we should become.
Definitely. And for me, it was a determination to get back on that field to then put two goals past South Melbourne again. Because when I was on the floor, I copped a lot of shit. And that's just me. I kind of loved it as well. It was a love-hate thing going on. Like, I was copying really bad abuse. You deserve this, go dig a grave, 6 feet under, you name it. It was said, but it didn't bother me to the slightest. But what it did do is the next game in return, we was them. You know, it's written in the stars, it was them. We were laying them at Lakeside. You know, we smashed them and I scored. So, it's laughable. And that was my determination. I wanted to get one up on them. And I think these challenges, like, you know, if I didn't have any determination or whatever, like, that was my goal, to get back and smash fucking South Melbourne, mind my French. You know, and that's why I did it. So, look, everyone has their own reason. That was mine personally, if I'm going to be brutally honest, just to get one up.
I agree. And, like we just mentioned, mate, it's that resilience, determination, whether it be get back on the pitch or if you've been told no, if there's an opportunity that, you know, has been knocked back, it's not taking no for an answer. It's picking yourself back up, you know, dusting your knees and shoulders off and, you know, progressing on, getting on with it. Make it count. Go twice as hard. Learn a bit more if you have to. If you fail, then push to succeed. Don't stop until you do succeed. In any context. Let's dive into, so obviously we're in 2020. I like how you mentioned there that, you know, because of COVID, this is a bad situation and something that I personally haven't talked about in too much detail, purely because, you know, I'm a very private person. We don't need to go into monetary standpoints or, you know, rental or, you know, all of these things that, that we're experiencing that's happening to us because, you know, we're positive people, we stay quiet, we achieve goals behind closed doors and we push on, yeah? The point of this is I wouldn't be here interviewing you, sitting here with you today and doing this podcast if it wasn't for COVID, 100%. You know, not in the first year of business, we'd be full steam ahead. I wouldn't have time. I wouldn't even thought about doing this type of thing. Although it's a goal, I just wouldn't have got to this level or had the time and freedom to be creative and do so. 2020, it's a bit like that movie got released a long time ago where it was a bit of a shitstorm and a horrible, horrible experience for the world. Mate, talk to us about 2020 and if you'd like to share any, you know, things for you this year. It's obviously been a massive year on so, so many levels.
Yeah, where do you start? 2020 is a shambles for everyone in the world, which is scary. You know, normally it's you bottom of the pile or they suffer. This is rich and rags. You know what I mean? Like there's no in between. Everyone suffered from the top to the bottom. Like you walk down the street, everyone's lost their jobs. So everyone's in this together, and I think that's where some people get caught up on the whole scenario. Like you think, oh, why me? Why me? And we all go through stuff, you know. I've had a, you know, I lost my dad this year and stuff like that. So it's like you can sit back and be like, why me, and think it's all against you. But we're obviously, besides the dad thing, we're all in this together. As cliche as what it is what it, in my opinion, it's what you choose to do with that time. Like I just said, you know, would I be sat here on a, you know, Octodate High Performance podcast after a year? No, but I think it's a beauty that it has happened, and it not thanks to COVID. So I just think it's what you choose to do. Like you can feel sorry for yourself. Like I took I think when I found out I lost my dad, I took 3 days out of work, and I sat back. I felt sorry for myself, and you know, I've got a big family, luckily. So we talked a lot, and it's funny. Your dad's your hero. Everyone, but you know, whatever. Your dad's your hero. I was talking to my sister, and one thing came up, like, you know, but he was, you know, he's the best. And I was like, you know, he is and he was and stuff. But someone else has just lost their dad. Like, everyone is in the same scenario. Like, you do think you just get caught up and you think it's always against you. But, like, with my 3 days off work, I'm like, Harry, what am I doing? Pull myself. I'm quite hard on myself, but that's just how I like to be. You know, should I be sat here taking time off work, worrying and affecting my business in a sense? For what? For death. For death. You know, is it a good reason to lose my business? I could make mixed emotions or mixed views on what I'm about to say. And death is death, you know. You know, it's how you channel it. Like, luckily for me, I'm going to try channel my dad's death into success. You can go as far reaches what you want to take by success. Mine's just being happy and being lay at home, feeling sorry for myself for the word death, that death happens all around the world. Is a weak option for me. Not going to talk about anyone else. And I didn't want it to affect me. Like, I'd regret if I took that time too much and felt sorry for myself and lost clients. I'm in an industry where it's a very clientele base. Like, people come there for me. I can't afford 2 months out of work. And do it then, you know, before you know it, years, you know, 6 months have gone past and I've not been in work. And then I lost half my clientele. The clientele that I've worked so hard for and that my dad was so happy for, you know, me finding that different avenue. So, yeah, it's a tricky one. And time flies. You know, before you start feeling sorry, by the time after you felt sorry for yourself, mate, the chance is too late. Obviously, I have accepted it. I've dealt with it. I've done everything I needed to do. Still learning. Still going. The road is still on the go. But that's just my opinion on that scenario. But look, with your question, 2020 year, it's been a difficult year. But like I said before, setbacks can honestly make you, but you know, I think if you think outside of that box, you can make something great out of a setback. With the sports industry, I think a lot of, you know, these people coming on these podcasts or your friends or my friends, like, we've all dealt with failure. My opinion of failure is great. I like failure. you need a bit of failure in your life to build up the resilience, because it's, you know, I remember my school teacher, I hate school, despise it, still do to this day. And I remember every teacher that was mean to me anyway. But I hated school. And they said, you'll have a real, you know, you'll have a rude awakening when you get out into the real world. It's scary. And it is, you know, fucking it is, you know. And I think failure is good, especially if you can channel that and make some great out of it. Like, you know, getting pie, you know, getting this, you know, let go from football clubs, that opens up another doors, and whatever avenue or whatever field of work, like a failure will open up another door. If you go fucking walk through that door, you've got to walk through the door.
Not the right mindset.
Yeah. And like you said, due to a right mindset, I think it's really important.
It's big. And look, you know, condolences, Harry, for, you know, this year has been massive for you, and I can't even fathom, you know, losing my father. And for those of you who have as well, I send my condolences. You know, you lose a role model, you lose your inspiration, you lose somebody of that caliber. It's obviously a very, very difficult, and challenging period of time. You know, the way that you've dealt with this is just phenomenal. It's very inspiring. Again, being on the outside, you know, looking in, mate, you've not dropped your head once. Yes, you took 3 days off work, and I presume some of the listeners here have gone, wait, what? Only 3 days you've taken to your own to have your own time and your own self, like that sort of stuff, mate. It's unheard of. You're a courageous lion. You know, you might look a little bit like a lion as well, perhaps, but no. Courageous, mate. You've got a big, big heart, massive heart, to be able to take 2020, to take these things and these situations in your stride, mate, and progress on, and not drop your head. Stay focused. You know, keep everyone around you lifted up and motivated. It's just unheard of. It's phenomenal. So it's huge. You should be very proud of that. And, you know, that transcribes into everything that you do. And this is the person that you are, mate, whether it be football, cutting hair, just as a human being in society. It's phenomenal.
Thank you. Like I said, it's fucking hell, I forgot what I was going to say. Look, if I don't feel sorry for, like, if you feel sorry for yourself, like, you're, like, you know, different circles of friends aren't going to feel sorry for yourself. Aren't going to feel sorry for me. So, and I think that's one of my biggest things that I've learned through little things in life. Don't get sucked up in the moment. Like, people aren't going to feel sorry for yourself. I'm going to feel sorry for you, sorry. So, you know, you either, there's two routes to go down. That route or the other route, obviously, to make doing something about it. Because I'm afraid, mate, you know, as good as friends are, you are what you are, like, you know, 10 years time, you know, they ain't going to be there to pick you up. Some of them, you know, just through different life scenarios anyway.
And one thing that you've said that it's really resonated with me over the time, you know, obviously we talk quite often, is you're in this yourself. Yeah, nobody else is in this. It's just you. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you know, you go home, you're in your own house by yourself. Yes, you might live with someone, you might live with a partner. At the end of the day, it's just you. So what are you going to do about this situation? You know, are you going to pick yourself up and dust yourself off and get on with what you're supposed to do? Or are you're going to be, you know, end up down the rabbit hole of misery and, you know, playing the victim and letting that defeat you. So being able to bounce back and, mate, continue to build and progress and not just exist, you know, is phenomenal. And it's massive, because I don't know if you're allowed to announce this or if you will, we'll have to edit it out. But not only has Harry come back and, you know, continued on with his business and kept all of his clients happy, and his business has grown even more. He's actually gone into, is it chapter 1 point?
We'll go two.
Here we go. He's actually stepped in and flipped the page, turned the page into chapter 2, and I'll let you talk, mate. Talk to us about chapter 2.
Look, chapter 2 is obviously expanding. The unknown Oakley will be arriving very soon after this COVID malarkey. Yeah, so look, we're expanding, obviously trying to target that sports background, you know, that them footballers or anyone associated with sports. You know, I think sports is probably, you know, touching back on everything, like, is the reason why I'm where I am. So look, I want to try to target them sort of areas, and, like, we're not just a barbershop. We are a family and stuff, like, you know, I've got clients that will have a bad day and come because we, you know, we serve the beers and they'll come and rent, you know, vent, sorry. And that's kind of what I wanted to be, you know, we're not just a barbershop, like, it's just, you know, we're a group of lads loving what we're doing. And I want to create that environment where, you know, you don't just have to sit there half an hour, wait, have a beer, do that awful talk, you know, that small talk. It is a, it's a, it's a home, you know, and we're you know, this, with this day and age, everything's acceptable, but people judge, you know. In our shop, there's no discrimination. It doesn't matter who you are, what, where you've been. In fact, like, I can have lawyers in my chair and I can have fucking criminals in my chair, but to me, they're all equal in this shop, you know. So look, we're expanding. Hopefully we'll be coming soon. So yeah, look, if you're in the area, check it out. That would be great.
Also, yeah, it's, that's huge. And again, I think I've mentioned it earlier, but just the experience. If you've ever been to a great barber's or a hairdresser's and you sit in a shop that's actually like that family, it's got the good energy, it's got the good people. You know, once you're in that chair, it's an escape. You know, for me, being a busy businessman as well, that hour that I get to come and get my hair cut, get a fresh fade, you know, while I'm in that chair, that's my 1 hour. You know, I might work a 60-hour week or something. I'm coming in, that's my hour with you, and it's your hour, and it's given to you. And the way that you guys do it is spectacular. Also, partly why I wanted to get you on board as a sponsor is, you know, we do a similar line of work, Harry, where, you know, we make people feel good about themselves. We charge people up. We communicate. We, you know, people walk out of your shop feeling amazing. It's the best they've looked in, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, yeah? They're walking out of your shop feeling good. If you feel good and you look good, mate, you're unstoppable. So, you know, creating that tie, collaborating on that front as well for me is really special. Talk to us about the impact. I don't want to harp on too much about COVID, but being a business, you know, like you, at the moment we're both shut down, yeah? Talk to us about this downtime period. What's something you perhaps have been working on, and how much has COVID actually affected you?
COVID has affected us, obviously, you know, not as much as it's affected you, but, you know, everyone runs their own race. We've been affected. We've got two shops shut. Me being English, which I've suffered with, is, and not having my residency, I wasn't acceptable for payments.
Any abatements or...
I wasn't accepted for them. So, like, you know, my, what did he call it? Government grants. Government grant. Oh, government grant's different due to business, but still a scratch on the surface. Let's, you know, I've seen loads of businessmen and coming out and saying, like, look, you know, it sounds great seeing how, yeah, one point whatever million has been put out. But look, in all seriousness, it doesn't touch the sides to a lot of businesses. Luckily, we are, especially myself, we're a small business, so it helps out more than others' businesses. But, you know, yeah, having no income and still paying rent on two shops and not being eligible for government JobKeeper is the word I was looking for that personally. Yeah, I'm suffering a little bit. Obviously, my staff get it, which luckily good. But at the start, we didn't accept it due to the 30%. When I took over the business, they weren't trading at that level. So we actually missed out on that threshold, which was a kick in the teeth because we were 30% down. But in that time, I'm not going to say it's all been bad, because in that time, obviously I flew home for, you know, what we just touched base on. And while I was in isolation, you know, I was having a Corona. Well, because they're on special now. They're the only beer no one bloody drinks. So, look, I got them on a bargain deal in the Crown. The only cheap thing I could afford. Anyway, so, you know, out of the COVID, I've actually opened up the second shop. You know, the idea was always there. But that's when things really got going. So look, yeah, not all has been bad. Obviously, you know, while I was in isolation, after I got back, you know, drinking my specials of Corona, they were the only things that were on sale due to the virus. Look, I actually did then start planning for Oakley, the Unknown Part 2. / Oakley, and that is where the idea came. But the idea has always been there, sorry, but that's when I, you know, back on YouTube, I Googled, I asked my brother, what's the software I can design a shop? You know, and to this day, my plans look exactly like it. So look, you know, and I think it's, you know, thinking outside the box or trying to get on with it, take a bad app, put a bad end into a negative. A negative into a positive. You know, if you look at it, shops, you know, every other shop down the high streets are for sale or for lease, and cheaper rent, you know, it's whatever, it's whichever avenue you want to look at it. So look, managed to set up that. So that has been a COVID project, which has been good. It's been keeping me busy, but also actually just time to breathe. And I think the most important thing to do is just literally sit back and breathe. You know, give me time to really actually digest everything that's happened this year for me personally, you know, from the death and from the business and not actually having time out of the business, managing football staff, which, to be honest, mate, I never thought I'd own have staff. It's not a part. Like, I thought, you know, I was always just do my thing, you know, I was a bit of a free spirit. You know, and then actually having to run, you know, you take it home with you, the stress. And so it's actually been really good. Like, I've kind of obviously not really looked at COVID as much as a negative, which is pretty rough, rare.
It's impressive, mate.
But like, look, I know it's a negative and everyone has been affected and, you know, my heart goes out to you, but it's been, I've been able to digest everything that's happened in my life this, you know, this year, or, and it was important. And also start looking on sort of the marketing side of things, trying to expand the brand. You know, we are a barber shop, but we've also got apparel. But it's not your barber apparel. It's your outwear. You know, I want to target that sort of environment too. You know, that nightlife and stuff like that. So it's kind of branching out into just different scenarios that we're really, I don't have time to do when I'm in the shop. I am fully, you know, flat stick. I don't even have time to go get waters or whatever, you know. So it has been a blessing to really sit back and work on part two, work on different aspects of the business, the back end of it, which I never really get time to do. So, you know, on the bigger picture, yeah, it's been a rough road, but I've tried to look as positive as I possibly could.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? No, in hardship, there's always opportunity. You know, we see a lot of things popping up in the media, a lot of people are making absurd amounts of money during this period. You know, a lot of people are taking advantage of cheap leases. Unfortunately, a lot of people have lost their businesses and lost their, you know, shop fronts, and all these places are up for lease. And again, if you're fortunate enough to either be creative or resilient or optimistic or just a go-getter and a goal-setter, then you're going to snap all these things up. And you can look at that as a positive or a negative. But for businessmen, for people that are in their own hardship, you know, like yourself, you're paying two leases, yeah? You've taken a moment to actually design this new shop, start chapter two, start phase two, build more strong connections with your branding, you know, step into the apparel game. And like you mentioned, it's not just a standard barber apparel. Like, these shirts they're fresh, they're mint. This is only phase one. I know you've got phase two, three, four coming soon, yeah?
That's it. Keep an eye out for all that, boys.
Yeah. So, again, in hardship, there's always opportunity, but you have to be optimistic. You have to be open-minded. You have to have these, you know, these human traits or factors or habits, rather, of resilience, determination, not taking no for an answer. You know, And look, I am human. I've spent days, weeks, months here walking around, you know, down in the dumps. We've got a massive, brand new training facility that we can't use. And we've paid rent right the way through. You know, we won't get into the monetary standpoint, but imagine paying a commercial lease, yeah, without a dollar coming in. And we're in a similar boat with you, Harry. You know, we don't qualify for government grants or abatements or, you know, all of these types of things, given that we're a new company. So everyone looks at these big announcements, you know, X amount of $1 billion has been interjected in Victoria, but who actually gets it? It doesn't touch a side, it doesn't scratch a surface. A lot of people don't qualify for it. So it's a very, very difficult time. And again, for us, using that time to get creative, you know, bringing in the high performance platform, being able to sit down, talk to guys like yourself, you know, talk to businessmen and people who are similar. Everyone who I've spoken to and interviewed so far has a similar thing. Yeah, resilience, determination, not taking no for an answer, love. Loving failure, loving the moment of hardship, doing something about it, rattling some cages and creating pure genius.
No, you're right, you're spot on.
Talk to me. Two questions. We'll do a few power questions here. Won't keep you take too much of your time. What does cutting hair feel like? So when you're in the moment, this might be a bit of a strange question here. When you've got a client sitting in your chair, you know, what are you thinking about? How are you cutting hair? What are the things you're looking at and looking for?
In terms of a boss barbering aspect, I'm looking at, you know, it's got to be suitable to their lifestyle. You know, there's a lot of the games, you know, it's a bit out there, obviously, due to social media, you know, there's a lot of funky stuff going on. But me personally, it's got to be suitable to, like, their lifestyle, their jobs and that aspect of it. But in terms of, like, personally, I love it. It's like I get this satisfaction out of every single haircut. and it's half an hour of, say therapy for both of us. Each, every single person has a different sort of, they add something different to us. You either take them, you can take that through life, or, you know, whatever you want to do. But honestly, each half an hour is completely different. You take certain things from each client, and personally, look, I get that satisfaction out of cutting hair, being able to give back. Not that they're poor. I just like giving back, and they feel fresh. They feel loved. Like I said, with our shop, you know, you're not just a number. We are like a little family. As cliche as it is, we are. And all of my boys in that shop, we're all kind of, you know, we're all off the same tree. We all love giving back. It's therapy for us. Simple as that. You know, to other people, it might just be cutting hair, but I love it. I love that whole creativity side of it. Hence why my avenue, I want to go down the apparel, it's that creative mindset. And for me, that's why I do what I do.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it's interesting you say it's like therapy for both people. For me, when I sit in your chair, yeah, that's my 1 hour where half an hour, 40 minutes, and I get a beard trim too. Take a lot of your time. But when I'm in that chair, I switch off. Yeah, I'm not thinking about anything. It's not stressful. It's relaxing. It's therapeutic. We might have a bit of a chat. You know, it's an outlet for me to relax and switch off. But for yourself, from what you're describing, it's that flow state. You're in your zone, man. Like, you're doing your thing. You're doing what you love. Every haircut's different. It's bringing something new. Conversations, you know yourself, like as a barber or a hairdresser, the conversations that you sit to, you're almost like a counselor as well, man, the stuff you have to listen to people talk about. So it's cool. In a 10-minute conversation, here's something I've probably never shared with you or any of our listeners. One of my biggest hobbies when I first moved to Melbourne, I didn't know anybody. And I thought, you know what, for the next 12 months, I'm going to go and introduce myself to as many different people as possible. Yeah, A, to break down the fear barrier. B, to get creative and actually explore. But C, in a 10-minute conversation with a new person or a stranger, you can learn one's entire life or something it might take you the rest of your life to figure out. It could be one word that triggers an aha moment. It could be one sentence or one paragraph that might change everything. And it does sound a bit funny, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But from a 10-minute conversation with a new person, you can learn something that might change your life or take your lifetime to learn.
I just got shivers at my back. No, it's true. It is. You know, you do take it. It can just be a word. But no, I agree.
Yeah, you've got to be aware enough to be able to to actually listen. Now, that's a whole nother, you know, a whole nother topic. Being able to actually listen. So we as humans, we're so busy. We've got so much going on in our brains and background noise. I think we've, you know, got 3,000 or 4,000 thoughts per second happening, all subconscious. But what you choose to tune into, what you choose to listen to in conversation with people, you know, so maybe that's a tip for everybody listening. In the next conversation you actually have with someone, take a few more deep breaths. Don't try and interject. Don't try and think about what's coming next or, you know, any of that stuff. Be still in the moment. Actually learn something new. Yeah, listen to what that person's telling you. And often, if you actually truly listen, especially with a stranger, you can take something away that, you know, might give you a different, you know, outlook or view, or, like we said, light bulb moment. It could just change everything and anything for you. Yeah, awesome. So I guess the big question that I want to know, you know, you're a very working behind the scenes sort of man. You're a quiet achiever. You know, you set your goals and you announce them, obviously, after they're set in stone. This shop, I haven't even seen any of this shop design. So you're very elusive and exclusive, which is awesome. I'm busting to see it. Yeah, can't wait to see it. Talk to us more. What comes next? We'll touch on football. Yeah, and we'll touch on the shop. So chapter 2 is Oakley, but, you know, share with the audience what comes next.
First, the opening day. Whenever this announcement comes, I think at the moment it'll be the 26th of October. So that's the next step of this journey. And with what comes next, it's a good question, really. Like, I've got plenty of ideas going through my head. But to be honest, if I'm being really honest, like, I really just want to live in the present at the moment and not kind of get too far carried away with, oh, this, I want to do this, or this is better, or I want to really focus on what I'm doing now. It'll always be this sort of related. But look, I don't really know. Like, I've got loads of ideas that could, you know, expand from what I'm doing. But I want to spend a good 2 years, 1 to 2 years, just solely focusing on these two shops. And then next from that, interesting. I don't know. I've got plenty of ideas that I can't share right now.
Yeah.
But right now, like, the most important thing is the present, and just taking each step at the time, and actually having 100%, 120% focus on now, and not get carried away what's about to come. But what will come, I'll tell you, is going to be great. Whenever it is, I don't know when it is. But
there you go. I've just tried to put Harry on the spot there to see if he'll release any information for us. You know, the unknown is very, very good at keeping things under wraps. You know, big, big things come in. we're dying to see him. First, the open day. We can't wait to see this fit out. It's going to be fresh. It's going to be, you know, huge. I think what you've described there is probably one of the most important things out of this entire conversation, being present. If I reflect, and, you know, while you're talking just then, I'm reflecting on my own story. For the last 5 years, yeah, I've set this 5-year plan. I'm a very goal-orientated person. I set the 5-year plan. I scale backwards. By 6 months, I do this. By 12 months, I do this. By year two, I've done this. And fortunately enough, I've actually ticked these off. Yeah, this is my 5-year plan, Oxalate Performance. However, for 4.5 of those years until I figured out what I was doing wrong, I spent those 4.5 years in a bit of a whirlwind. It's a bit of a blur. You know, I was in a caffeinated blur. I was just always focused on next week, always focused on hitting these targets for next month. Looking back, I think that's a huge mistake. It's almost a bit of a regret. I'm fortunate enough that I journal, so I'm fortunate enough I've got the data, I've got the words I can reflect on. But not being present in that moment, not enjoying today, you know, focused on tomorrow, I think is a huge downfall when I've missed a lot of stuff that I wish I probably should have, you know, rewarded the small wins and lived in that moment more.
Yeah.
Awesome. Very, very good. Well, again, thank you so much for your time. It's been great to get you on, get some insight. For those of you who don't know the unknown, I guess you do now, yeah? Kind of announced that.
Yeah. I was an unknown for a while, for years, and now I've blown my cover.
Yeah. Look, mate, again, thank you so much for your time. I think you're doing, you know, fantastic, not just as a footballer, yeah, obviously on the pitch. Great, great footballer. I'd hate to play against you. Probably because you're kicking. No, in terms of the brand is so cool. It's inspiring. It's awesome to watch. Can't wait to see Oakley. Can't wait for the open day. Can't wait to see, you know, these ones and twos that come out after that.
I agree. Thank you for your time. And look, likewise to yourself. Keep doing what you're doing, mate. Before I got in, told to come on this podcast, you know, I was listening to each podcast and it's brilliant what you're doing. So keep it up.
Thank you, mate. Awesome. We'll speak soon. Cheers. Well, there you have it. Now we get to wrap up the podcast episodes with a special mention. This podcast has been brought to you by The Unknown and Oxalate Performance. How cool is that? Harry, thanks again for your time. Cannot wait to, start and end the podcast with The Unknown. You know, having your sponsorship, having your brand backing ours is fantastic. Something I'm very proud of. Everybody in Melbourne who hasn't yet been to The Unknown Barbershop, whether it be in Preston or Oakley, I highly recommend, if you want to be looking fresh and feeling good, go in and see the boys, treat yourself to a haircut, beard trim, you know, have a beer, good banter, get some apparel, some nice shirts, you know, it's just a fantastic experience, sitting in that chair, spending that, you know, half an hour to 45 minutes relaxing, having the confidence and comfortability knowing that you're going to walk out of there feeling fabulous. It's just something that, you know, really you can't pay for. Taking away all the stress and concern of that haircut, whether it be ready for your first date, for that special business meeting, you know, just to look good, feel good. Check out the boys. Harry, love what you're doing. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Again, this podcast has been brought to you by The Unknown and Oxalate Performance. Please like and leave a review. Apple Podcast reviews help us get up on the charts, which in turn therefore gives us more exposure and more traction as we build the high performance platform. Looking forward to next week, Monday morning, episode 6 will be live. Thanks again.